Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Welcome one and all to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast on CornNation.com and Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. This is episode number 10, and I am one half of your dynamic duo, patent pending, Greg Mahochko, joined as always by my good friend, fellow Husker fan, and broadcast buddy, Mr. Brian Toll. It's the Husker Podcast for Husker fans. Nobody else wants to talk to us, Bri. What's up with that?
We're just sitting here in the basements, you know, just hanging out, brushing our teeth with chainsaws and just hanging out, talking football in our underwear. Mom's got the meatloaf going. So,
I mean, in all fairness, my mom's meatloaf's pretty good, but I don't have a basement.
I don't have a basement either.
And the idea of brushing my teeth with a chainsaw sounds ridiculously painful.
Well, better than some stuff I have to live with in life, so whatever.
So
you know what they have in down here when you get in a tornado?
Whataburger?
No, yeah. The whole park goes there now. No, seriously.
They go into that storage freezer?
Kind of. They sell these little pods. And it looks like a humongous, humongous water heater.
I don't like the idea of this, Brian.
I don't either, but you wear like the first like 3 feet in them, and then you climb in, and it's supposed to save your ass in a tornado.
How does that work?
You can't lift it up from the ground. It's buried in, and it's too heavy to move, and, you know. They won $2,500 for one.
Yeah.
And it looks really weird. I suppose it's better than just going to the shower with a mattress over your head kissing your ass goodbye, but
we've got this entry our laundry room, it comes off the garage, but it's centrally located. It's not, you know, it doesn't have an exterior wall. So if we're in a pinch, that's probably where I would send my family.
You know, it's funny, in Houston, our laundry room was actually the garage. Literally, you could open the garage door and just be doing your laundry. You'd be like, "Hey, what's up?"
I've seen that before. I mean, it's unique. It's not for everybody. But you know, before we get going into the elephant, or should I say, badger-sized elephant in the room, I think Oreo is done. I think that they just need to stick with what works, the regular Oreo and the double stuffed Oreo, and if they really want to get crazy, the mega stuffed Oreo. But tonight I tried chocolate chip cookie Oreos.
I have those.
It's like
bad
with the chocolate chip cookie cream or whatever.
Yeah,
not great.
Nothing so.
I tell you what, I like the lemon cream Oreos better.
I didn't like the red velvet ones.
My wife likes those because she's a red velvet fanatic. So,
but you know what the funny thing is about those, right? If you ever bought a regular package of Oreos and some of the double stuff Oreos,
mm-hmm.
Okay, the double stuff Oreos are actually lighter than the regular Oreos because when they do the double stuff, they whip the middle stuff. They whip it so light that it's mostly air.
What? I just always figured that you got fewer cookies because the double stuff took up more room.
I think that's part of it too, but I think you probably got like one, two less a row. But
I didn't know about the whipped. I'll say this, after you have double stuffed, it's tough to go back to regular, even if it is whipped, as you say.
I think the thin kind of, yeah.
Yeah, too much cookie, not enough cream.
Yeah, that's what never mind.
Let's talk about this past Saturday. Nebraska on the road at Wisconsin. Brian, it was a hell of a game. And
yeah,
let's jump right into that overtime. Third down, pretty blatant pass interference. I saw some people indicating, you know, some people shared stills on Twitter or something about how it wasn't pass interference because T.J. Watt looked like he was going for the ball and Jordan Westerkamp just stopped. But there was obvious contact there. I think it was pass interference. However, I don't think you can hang your hat and say that's why the Huskers lost the game.
I agree with that statement. I think they're right about the whole Westerkamp stopping thing. If Westerkamp runs straight through it, yeah, by all means, you get interference. But at the same time, we all knew that the officials were swallowing their whistles. There's no ever-loving living way in hell you could tell me Nebraska only had two penalties in that game.
That was the least penalized college football game I've seen in so long I can't even remember.
And I remember the bigger issue I had was, I think, on the first touchdown pass when they were going left to right on the first touchdown pass to Fumagalli, I think, all right? Ross Azuris got, like, mangled hogtied. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He got straight hogtied, and there was no call. I mean, he's being grabbed. His pads are being straight up grabbed by the right tackle, I think, and nobody called it. And I'm going, how is that not called? Okay. So I think you can make an argument that the officials kept it consistent the whole night.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only penalties I remember Nebraska had was those stupid false start penalties on the punt team where Wisconsin would fake like going and Wisconsin, the punt team went along and they got the 5 yards.
I'll tell you what, it was a late hit, like after play, but I think it was in the third quarter. Nebraska obviously trailing and Nate Gary lights up a play for a stop and forces fourth down, but the way he got up and exuberantly celebrated. I'm like, keep it down, Nate. Keep it down, Nate. You know, don't like what I didn't want to get was a 15-yard unsportsmanlike automatic first down type of situation because they were in a punting situation. So I'm like, keep your cool. But they allowed the minor celebration without throwing a flag and blowing the whistle.
I think the officiating crew, you could say they were at least consistent in that they didn't flag much.
They really didn't. No.
So in that aspect, I think we could be fairly say that, you know, and like I said, if Westerkamp runs through it, I think you have the bigger argument. Westerkamp kind of just stopped right there and all of a sudden Watt hit him. And yeah, I got it. But in the whole green scheme of things, there were so many plays that Tommy missed that just make you frustrated. The first down call where he just, if he holds the ball, he's probably got at least at the bare ass bone minimum 7-8 yards. Okay.
If he just tucks it,
I think on fourth down. If you know, if I remember right, you looked at the play, and yeah, he's looking at Stanley, and it wasn't the worst decision. Probably timing wise, he didn't make the great play, but the worst decision. But you also looked to the left. Brandon Riley's wide open for the first down. I mean, you could build a house where he is. And I think, and I say this democratically, that whoever comes in next year, and this is, you know, so another discussion of the day maybe, but whoever comes in next year, if they can make 5 more throws a game than Tommy can, Nebraska will be almost, I wouldn't say unstoppable.
Right.
But the play calling, because it seemed like Nebraska did a really – when Nebraska moved the ball really well on this defense is when they hit the edges, got the screens. There was a bubble screen to Pearsonell that was absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then the intermittent passing game where they hit Morgan and such. And Westerkamp really kind of didn't have a great night, but at the same time, he was their A1 target. So I think Morgan had a great night. But I just kind of wish on that drive that, you know, we didn't have to think that fourth down play didn't have to go for a touchdown.
It did not.
And one of the best plays that Nebraska had was this, the 10, 12-yard slant off the RPO look, you know?
if memory serves me right, they went in overtime. They went two run, two pass.
Yeah, they went.
They didn't pass it all four downs.
No, they went run the newbie.
And they went down. And they went run the newbie into the, you know, between the tackles, which just wasn't there.
It wasn't. But at the same time, at this, you know, you kind of wondered if Wisconsin was tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I so many hypotheticals in this game.
Sure. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the fourth quarter. You get two interceptions and you only come away with 3 points. And on the first interception, they went three and out. If you put a drive together and get some points, you know, obviously if you get a field goal, you tie the game, you know, a possession earlier. If you score a touchdown on that drive, you know, it's you're leading now, and Wisconsin's playing on their heels, I think, and they're the team that has to take a few more chances. I liked the way the defense showed up in that fourth quarter. And again, we tacked on another, you know, score in the fourth quarter, and they didn't, so we continue to add on to our fourth quarter advantage. But I'm really excited, and I hope it happens this weekend. But if this team could put together four outstanding quarters of mistake-free football.
I think the first thing you look at when you look at Ohio State is they just come after you early. They really do. They got up early on Northwestern 10-0, if I remember right. But then they kind of
Have they looked a little bit more human and a little bit more mortal, if you will, in the last couple weeks, when you take into, you know, like, well, the game they played against Indiana and then Northwestern, they're not playing the, I don't know, the Akron, you know, or whatever. They're not playing the teams that they're putting up 78 points on or whatever. But it just seems like now that they're in the meat of conference play, they just look a little bit more beatable.
Yeah, I think part of it's, you know, they've only scored 25 a game. They only scored 25 a game the last three games, so I think that kind of plays into Nebraska thing. But Nebraska's got to play better run defense because the passing game of Wisconsin Ohio State doesn't really scare you, as far as you know how much, you know, Nebraska has done well against the pass, but the running game with Weber and Barrett really kind of worry about you, make you worry really bad.
And this is a Nebraska defensive unit. Now, granted, you know, different staff from, you know, it's a different staff than it was a year ago, and obviously from 2 years ago. But it's a Nebraska defense that traditionally, or at least in, maybe not traditionally, but in recent memory, has struggled against mobile quarterbacks. And they've got one of the best. You know, probably it. You know, he was a Heisman finalist a couple of years ago. He might be a Heisman finalist again this year. JT Barry, he's no joke. The difference, it's a different defensive philosophy week to week because they didn't have that dual threat this past week at Wisconsin, and they were able to. I thought at times they, you know, the defense played really well. And I remember saying something, I think it was on a touchdown pass that Wisconsin had from Hornibrook. And I said, man, that ball just seems to be hang up in the air forever. How is it that none of our defensive guys are getting back, swatting it away, picking it off, something like that? Just for whatever reason. And I've said it a couple times now on the show, Hornibrook's his southpaw motion just looks ugly. In the way that the I don't know if it's just a high release point, but that ball just seems to hang. JT Barrett, I believe he's going to have a little bit more zip on it, and the secondary needs to be ready.
And the one thing I'll say about Barrett is he's kind of Tommy-ish in that it's one or two decisions, and you know it's either coming out of his hand or he's going to run. So. And, you know, there's going to be this whole little – I'm sure it'll get ramped up Friday Keith Williams versus Zach Smith, you know, which zone six versus wideouts and whatever the, you know, crud will come. So, I don't know. I hope that doesn't defer to her for the game, but it's going to be interesting to see how somebody like Ethan Carter reacts. You know, and he's going against one of the better secondaries and back sevens, Raekwon McMillan. The one safety is pretty good. So it's going to be fun to see, but I think Nebraska could probably run a little bit on him. I don't think they're going to be able to really – I don't think Nebraska really has to be able to just throw the ball seven times again, because there's no way – because Tommy's starting to regress a little bit, and that's just the way it is. But, you know, opponents through how many games have they played?
7-1. 8?
I mean, Ohio State. I'm trying to remember.
They're probably 7-0 or 8-0.
No, they lost one, I remember.
Yes. No. Wait. Yep. Yes.
Penn State.
All right. So they're probably 7-1, too.
Yeah. They're only giving up 3.4 yards a carry. You know, they've only given up 3 rushing touchdowns the whole year.
Which I think something will give, and I think we'll get at least one of those, you know, one in the end zone that way. I'll say, you know, I think either Zigbo punches one in, or maybe a newbie from a little farther out, and I think Tommy takes one in as well.
Yeah.
In a fair and just world, all three of those guys will get in.
In a fair and just world. We would have won after even throughout those entire issues with officiating. Not bad officiating, just I'm just saying efficient, you know.
Let's go back to Wisconsin. It maybe not, you know, anything specific, but in the way that this team played against Wisconsin versus other Nebraska teams that have played against Wisconsin, especially at Camp Randall. And go back a couple of years when Melvin Gordon torched them, and it was just so unsettling. How encouraging was it, you know, to you to see the outcome the way it was versus, you know, the blowouts that we've had? I mean, even though you lost, which we've talked about, you know, if you're going to lose, at least let it not be a blowout, and certainly wasn't a blowout.
Well. Yeah, I mean, there's something that – I mean, think about this. Last time, 2 years ago, when Nebraska went to Madison, they led 17-3 with, like, 9-something to go in the second quarter. And then about the end of the third quarter, they were down 52-17, and they'd given up 408 yards.
Right.
So, does it suck losing? Yeah, it sucks. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's – but you don't feel like the absolute complete inhumane kick in the teeth.
Sure.
That you did after the last thing. Because after that, remember, after that Wisconsin game, you know, I was mad. I was raging mad. I mean, I wrote a piece at 4 a.m. that I guess people still read. You know, fake jam, I guess, but whatever. But there's, you know, Mike Riley's worst loss with Nebraska –
still will be Purdue of last year?
Purdue with 10 points.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty good. You know, they've lost their 7-1, 5-12, 12-8. Mike Riley's 12-8. Out of those 8 losses, only one's been more than a one-score game. So. No, 13-8. He's 13-8. 6 last year, 7 this year.
Yeah.
That's consistency. I mean, you're staying in games. Plus, you know, I still push on it. Nebraska is such a mentally tough team. The whole fourth quarter. Because think about it. Let's ask. With Bo Pelini there, is the result probably the same?
No.
Bo Pelini and Tim Beck calling plays?
No.
Yeah, I know you're going to have the whole Tim Beck's calling plays this time. I don't think so. I think Nebraska's down. What was it? They were down 17-7.
Yeah,
3. I think that's when everything kind of goes to hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, you know, I don't. There's no moral victory, obviously, but I think it gives you confidence this week, because if Nebraska wins this week, then all of a sudden it's whoa, you know, we're expecting two losses, and all of a sudden Wisconsin doesn't have the lead, whether they win or not. If they don't win, it's even better.
Right.
Then let's say Wisconsin can't beat Northwestern for the first time since Crystal Pepsi was cool in Evanston. Regardless of what Nebraska does, they still have the one game.
Wait. When was Crystal Pepsi ever cool?
Mid 2000s, I guess. I don't know.
I know Ty, our lead volleyball correspondent, loves Crystal Pepsi and got jealous when I sent him a picture of a full rack of it at our grocery store here. I did drink a Crystal Pepsi on his behalf, and it's like Surge. It's, you know, best left back in the 80s or 90s.
It's a really sweet Sprite.
Crystal Pepsi? Oh,
really, I thought it was a really, really sweet Sprite.
It's still a cola, bro.
I know it's a cola, bro. Bro, it's a cola, bro.
If it's Sprite, it's not a cola.
Bra. Yeah, bra. It's bra. A cola, bra.
Bra. B-R-U-H. Bra. That, I see that one now. How far are we falling?
Baller shot caller.
Tony's blades on the Impala.
Here's a hot take I have.
Oh, wait a minute. How hot?
It's warm.
Okay.
I don't care about the college football playoff because if Nebraska makes it the Big Ten championship game, it's a successful season no matter what. I think that's a fair statement.
Do we want to remind the listeners at this point where Nebraska is in the first week of the college football playoff rankings?
10th.
You didn't answer my question.
And if it's 10th.
Yeah, I know, but
I answered the question, it's 10th. And what happened is if they stay within the top 10, guess where they're coming?
Big Ten championship?
That too, probably.
And how about this? There are four Big Ten teams in the top 10. Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin.
Okay, that's good.
I mean, for all the talk about, you know, SEC, they don't have four teams in the top 10 in the college football playoff rankings. I'm just saying.
They don't, but interesting games. So Nebraska would be, if things held servants hit around 9th or 10th, Nebraska would be going to the Goodyear Cotton Bowl.
Which, if I remember, they had that against Western Michigan.
West Cotton Bowl is regulated to take the highest group of five conference champion this year in the college football playoff. As of right now, they're the Broncos of Western Michigan, which would be a really interesting game for a few reasons. Number one, PJ Fleck's probably not there when they play. There's no way. If PJ Fleck can get his team to a college football New Year's Six game, he's gone. He's getting paid. Whether it be Monopoly money at Purdue that he shouldn't take.
There's LSU.
Yeah, I don't know if LSU'd go for him. I don't know if LSU would go for him. And I wouldn't know if he'd want to go to LSU.
Well, if Tom Herman goes somewhere, that opens up Houston too.
Yeah, you wouldn't want Houston. It's a lateral move. West Michigan for Houston is a lateral move.
I think Houston.
Unless they announce tomorrow that Houston's the Big 12, which they're not.
They're not.
It's a lateral move.
Fair enough.
I think if a Pac-12 job opened for Fleck, it'd be pretty good.
Oregon
would be nice. I would think maybe if things went really bad at UCLA, that would be perfect for him. I really do.
Is UCLA down all of a sudden?
Well, they're not doing great.
So Nebraska
out for the year.
Nebraska broke Oregon. Broke UCLA.
They broke Oregon. They broke UCLA.
They could be the Pac-12 killers. Maybe they should go into the Rose Bowl and take
out
somebody
Fresno
else.
They broke Fresno State.
Yeah, but Fresno State's not Pac-12.
Yeah, but they were still a West Coast team that Nebraska broke.
How about Wyoming? I don't think the Cowboys have a podcast, so good job beating the Broncos of Boise State.
Oh, who cares?
I tip my cap to Wyoming. I got friends who are Wyoming fans, so in the off chance that they listen to this podcast, they'll appreciate that.
All six of them?
Six friends or six Wyoming fans?
Yes.
It's possible.
One thing I'll say about this.
My Venn diagram of Cowboy fans to friends is that crossover margin's pretty small. It's
one
like two.
Job, I would look at PJ Fleck to go, and it would scare the shit out of me. Minnesota.
Are they going?
Clasis is on a bare bones contract. They're hiring a new AD.
So you think he's on the way out?
The staff have all the sex appeal of a 73 Cordova.
Hey.
And there's two guys.
Those were fine automobiles.
They were. There's two guys. There's one guy I remember that wanted that job really bad when Jerry Kill got sick. And that was Craig Bull. He wanted that job really bad. Now, with Craig Bull give up what he has at Wyoming, which is not the worst job in the world. He can take all the five heart kids from Nebraska and North Dakota.
And South Dakota.
Yeah. And your best case scenario is once every 4 years you get some love for the national guys. Maybe probably be in the Mountain West title game every other year.
That'd be good.
Or do you take it to Minnesota, where you've recruited the area before for North Dakota State? You've proven that you can do more with less. The cold doesn't bother you. The conference doesn't bother you.
Yeah. In all fairness, though, North Dakota State, they played indoors.
Yeah, but still had this going on the road.
Yeah, but where were they going? If you're North Dakota State, every team you play is south.
And you're also. You're going to South Dakota. You're going to Mankato. You're going to Montana.
Yeah, Montana's not that bad.
Don't underestimate the fact that, you know, these guys that go through the FCS ranks, that have to go on the road to win playoff games.
No, I know.
That's a big deal. You know, remember a couple years ago, we all thought that the one dude from Coastal Carolina would come to Nebraska. Oh, what's it? Moglia.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyhow, the one thing I wonder about the West now is this. Let's say Wisconsin drops a game somewhere, and I think it's probable. I just don't think they're healthy enough. Okay. That's three losses. It's all three losses in conference. You know, and you laugh, say, where could they drop a game? Purdue's a team that for the first half of a game scares the snot out of you. Second half, they kind of roll away. Illinois, maybe. Northwestern's playing pretty good football right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then
turns out that the win that Nebraska has over the Wildcats is kind of one of the better wins on the schedule through eight games.
Yeah. Nebraska probably got lucky there. They got them when Northwestern was really kind of figuring out who they were.
Yeah, but that's not Nebraska's fault. That's good timing. And I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, you got to play through injuries. You got to, you know, if teams don't know who they are by the fourth week of the season, then, you know, then there's no excuse for that. You should have your identity at some point by then.
Yeah, I disagree because fourth week of the season, Northwestern was 1-3 with a loss to Illinois State and Western Michigan. Okay.
Yeah, but and they're look, only at, look was, at Western Michigan now.
Western Michigan's pretty good right now. Illinois State's still an FBS team, hell or high water.
True.
Okay. They won against Iowa, giving up a trillion points. They won against Michigan State, giving up a trillion points. That win kind of was the death knell for Michigan State. They beat an Indiana team that had a really tolerable, that a really, Indiana has a really decent to good defense and an offense that can't suck enough right now.
Yeah, it's floundering, we'll say.
And, you know, they went toe-to-toe with an Ohio State team that, like I said, if you give them the first quarterback, you know, who knows what happens.
That's what I'm saying. Nebraska plays four.
Northwestern outplayed in the second half. It was 7-3. It was 10-7. Northwestern won the second half. And granted, it doesn't make the whole game, but, you know.
Well, let's.
No. Clayton Thorson threw for 260 yards on those guys.
Right.
That's a lot. That's a lot for a defense that brags about not being able to give up, you know, such.
That's the thing, too, is that this is, I mean, oh, like I said, Ohio State, you know, obviously they lost to Penn State. They held on against Indiana. They survived Northwestern. They are looking, you know, like I said, they're looking mortal. They're looking human. They're looking beatable. All we got to do, I keep stressing it, not that anybody's listening to me. Well,
nobody comes on our podcast to listen to us.
No, I meant more so, you know, like the players aren't listening, but you know, you just got to put together four solid quarters and you got a real shot. Ohio State's beatable. You just got to go in and you know, weather the storm early and then use the second half theatrics that you've become known for this season, it seems. And stay in the ballgame. If you're in the ballgame in the fourth quarter, I like the shot. I like the opportunity that we're going to
present itself.
Thank you.
Yes.
So, that being said, we're doing a better job of keeping it short this time, Brian. So, final thoughts and predictions.
I don't know what to predict yet. I really don't know. I don't know if I can take Nebraska. I don't know if I trust Tommy. And you'll see it in the predictions piece or later today if you're listening.
And to that extent, I think we've said, you know, several times on Coronation, and about every contributor to the site has said so, is that Nebraska will go as far as Tommy can take them.
And it's kind of gone down a little.
Yeah, but to counter that, the competition has increased a little, you know? I mean, you can't play Fresno State or Wyoming or a bad Oregon team every week. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, and we'll see what tricks, you know, we can. I don't use tricks like trick plays. I overall think those are horrible ideas. But we'll see what kind of game plan the coaches can put in front of him, and I can't believe I'm going to say it. Execute. We'll see how they execute.
Just got to execute.
Execute.
You saw the game. What do you think?
And it's all part of the process.
God.
And hey, how good is it having Westerkamp back out there? Because I don't know if you know this or not, but he and Tommy Armstrong are roommates. And so they have developed a bond, and sometimes they will play catch indoors with a Nerf ball because they're smart. They don't want to damage, you know, and have to, you know, break a lease. Nerf football action inside because they're roommates, and that's why they have such great chemistry.
You remember the last time Nebraska and Ohio State played?
No.
October 6, 2012.
Was that the game?
No, that wasn't the return thing. That was a game that Braxton Miller went for 186 or something like that.
No.
It was 63-38.
That's not nearly as fun. I liked it when Joe Bowserheimer threw it four rows deep on the sideline.
Here's the funny thing about that.
Okay.
Ohio State led by 11 at the half. Nebraska, it was like 30, it was 35-24. Yeah, 35-24. Martinez, I think, hit Cotton, Ben Cotton, for a touchdown. 35-31.
Well, it wasn't Sam Cotton.
No, it was Ben Cotton then on 2012, you jerk.
I know, Dilweed.
Don't stop. Stop talking.
I was just being goofy.
Stop talking.
You know who I miss?
No.
Can I tell you?
No.
Fine.
Okay.
Continue with your story.
And then it was 35-31. And then they give up a Carlos Hyde touchdown. And then they kick the ball away, and Noah Brown takes a punt return home. And then, yeah, there it is. And it really kind of hurt, because I kind of thought Nebraska played well up to a certain point in that game. And then, well, damn it. You know.
Can I tell you who I miss now?
No.
Please?
Who?
It's relevant to both Nebraska who? And tight ends.
Who? Kyle Green?
Mike McNeil.
Oh. Kind of interesting how he had a little bit of an NFL career that nobody really realized, you know.
Colts, Rams, Panthers.
Did he play for the Panthers? I know he played for the Colts and Rams.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, he practice squad.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that counts. Practice squad's like $6,000 a day, ain't it?
Hmm?
Practice squad's like $5,000-$6,000 a week, ain't it?
It's more than what I'm making.
Makes two of us.
Put me on a practice squad. Just put me on there just so that guys bigger than me can knock me down and pay me $5,000 a week, and I'll do it. I will be a tackling dummy for $5,000 a week.
You know what's funny about Ohio State's charts against Northwest, you know, charts against Northwestern.
Okay.
Every time Northwestern scored, it was a 10-plus play drive.
That's what I'm saying. That's 10-play drive, okay.
10-plus play drive, yeah.
Gotcha.
That's what I'm saying. I found that. So is that one of those things, once you get a – is it a confidence thing with them?
I think you get a little bit of a roll. And to be honest, early in the season, who were they playing that they were out – that defense was out for any length of time? You know, I wouldn't be surprised if now that it's November, that defense is starting to get a little tired.
Their Northwestern's first touchdown drive was 16 plays. Next drive was a field goal – drive that was 12 plays, didn't score, 3 plays, 2 plays, 6 plays, touchdown, 10 plays, 84 drive, last drive of the game that Northwestern had it, 16 plays, 60 yards. That's a lot, dude. Man, that is a lot. And the one thing that really gives you, you know, hope, the cause, Northwestern was 8-16 on third down.
That's only 50%.
I said, man, if you skip 50% on third down against Wisconsin, you got a chance. Nebraska was
they were well above that. Weren't they 65%?
Let me look real quick.
We ain't got time for stats. I'm just ballparking.
Buddy, I have it at my fingers.
That's weird.
Third down conversions, Nebraska was 9 of 18.
That's 50%.
Wisconsin was 5 of 13.
That's less than 50%.
That's 37%-ish? Nah, it's like 41%, 40%.
38.461538%.
Now you're being a jerk.
Well, you bring out stats, I'm going to bring out accuracy. There we go. Bastard. All right, that does it. Right, episode 10 of the Five Heart Podcast. Nebraska.
What else?
What?
You almost called it something else.
I almost called it Nerd United, but I don't know why I'd have that name on the tip of my tongue.
Why are you here? I'm not a nerd. Ha ha, fool.
You're kind of a nerd. You're a bowling nerd.
I haven't thrown a bowling ball in so long. I'm not really a nerd anymore.
Yeah, but you asked. Never mind. I'm not going to.
Don't be that guy.
I was going to make a statement or a remark about how you asked about drilling my finger holes. And now saying it out loud, I realize I shouldn't have. All right. So that's right. Episode 10 of the Five Heart Podcast. Reminding you this week, as every week, Five Heart is all the heart you need.
Bye-bye.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.